You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, Al McManus here, Director of Operations for Ask For Entertainment and King of the Buffet. Thanks for tuning in this week. We appreciate y'all's support. Really cool episode this weekend. Really great singer for an up-and-coming talented band. Be sure to go online at shiprock.com and book your cabin today for Shiprocked in January of 2022. We're excited to be back living in the real world. We hope you are too. So come and join us and have the time of your life. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the episode.
Making Waves.
Welcome to Making Waves, the Shiprocked podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media family and the fastest growing rock podcast in the world. We've had nearly 5,000 downloads this year alone, and our community is larger and more involved than ever. Thank you so much for your support, and remember to review, rate, subscribe, and share. This is episode 48, and we're super stoked. Shiprocked and Making Waves takes a lot of pride, and I spoke to our guest off camera or off air about this. We're super stoked about always turning people on to new bands, new acts that we find incredible, for one, and we think have an incredible future, and we're always glad to be kind of this little launching pad for them. So with that said, we're going to welcome Joey from Varsity NYC. Bud, thank you so much for taking this Wednesday evening with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let me talk about you for a second, brother. Thank you so much. You guys,
could you leave the room, please?
Yes, it's going to be always the best stuff. You guys have been around since about 2015.
Yes.
And going through your music, before I kind of get on to what you guys are doing, it's quite unique in the sense I've never heard anyone blend metal, hip hop, this NYC kind of vibe, and R&B. But we'll get on about that, because it really is something special. It really is. So you guys, you got a new single out, Montero. Mm-hmm. And which heading rules, out this summer, yeah, it absolutely is great, and it's the single we're gonna spend some time with that song alone. And then you're heading out late summer, July, August, with you going out with Awake at Last. There we go, Awake at Last. the Armageddon tour. That's right, the Armageddon tour, the Awake at Last in Varsity NYC. So hitting, looks like you guys are doing the East Coast, a little bit of Midwest.
Yeah, you know, we haven't toured in like forever, and like it's funny because my agent is actually the guitarist for Awake at Last, and you know, they're always touring and they haven't toured in forever either. And we're like, hey, well, things are opening up, we should definitely get back together and like start kind of doing things, start moving. So we're doing a little bit of the East, a little bit of the Midwest, and then kind of back home.
Yeah. So, well, you guys look like you're gonna have a pretty jam packed 2021, 2022. So. Again, thank you, and I hope by the time you get the Shiprocked in January 2022, you guys are going to be nice and warmed up and ready for a propulsive year next year. So anyway, let's start talking about, well, you and then Varsity NYC. And we're going to let Chad's going to take it from here, because I know he's got some questions for you.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Joey. As a one-time new band to the Ship, I was in a band called Wilson. We hung up the old hatchets in 2019. And some of the things that I wanted to talk about in particular with you and your band coming on to the Ship for the first time is, have you been on an actual like vessel in the sea playing music before?
I have never been on a ship, period. This is actually my first experience on a ship. And I think for the rest of the guys as well.
Not even dinghies? Like, you know, like a paddle boat or something like that?
I mean, not that I can remember. We don't really do like the water things, you know? I guess being from New York City, if you dive in water, it's like the Hudson River or like one of our many dirty beaches. So we try to not do the water thing a lot.
Yeah.
So let me bring this back around then with the New York City ties. Well, welcome to the ship, first and foremost. But with New York City, whereabouts do you guys live? And can you tell me a little bit about like the formation? I know this is kind of maybe trivial stuff for you, but our listeners are hearing about it for the first time. So if you don't mind talking about the heart and soul of what the band, where the band resides and how you found your brothers in Noise, that'd be great.
Yeah, so we're all from New York City. We don't all live in New York City right now. I do, my bassist does, and my guitarist does. My drummer currently lives in Pennsylvania, not Philly. He has like a house and everything else out there. You know, he made it out.
Chris, right, is his name.
Yeah. You know, that's the goal. You're in here, but eventually you need a house, and you know, houses in New York City cost millions of dollars, which we don't have. they're all kind of people that I've known for years, like literal years. It's kind of weird because we weren't always in this band together, or even this band was like a thought. It's kind of like this band wasn't even really a band at first. It was just a solo project. Like I did it by myself and I like wrote and recorded the music and then I threw it out there. And, you know, I did like, we got some shows and whatever else. And then after a couple of years, we're like, hey, you guys want to kind of do this seriously? And that was, now we're here. So that's literally the history of this band.
Did you guys grow up together though? Like the start of the core of the band or anybody that you're making music with currently, you know, how long have you guys known each other, I suppose?
So me and my bassist kind of grew up together. Like we even went to like the same junior high schools and stuff like that. And then my guitarist, Paul, I've known him for probably maybe about like 15 years also through like different bands and stuff like that. My drummer was more of like a recent friend that had come in, you know, for a couple of years and stuff like that. But me and my bassist, Javi, and Paul have known each other for like years.
Right on. So I was reading some interesting facts in the bio. For instance, your first record came out in 2015, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then full length after that was 2019?
Well, we haven't really put out a full length yet. It's all been EPs, which is kind of weird.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me. I am so sorry. One of the things that I thought I found in between that 2015 record and 2019 EP, or both are EPs, is you did a song with Johnny Craig, right?
You guys have
a previous relationship in that camp, or how did that all come together?
I kind of knew him from just like, I worked for like a bunch of bands, like doing merch and stuff like that. And then I kind of met him through like all of that. And it's funny because when we did that song, I wasn't really talking to him as much, but I had reached out and I was like, hey, listen, Johnny, like you got this song. Like, I think it'd be fun, like if you were on it. And it was actually his birthday and he heard the song and literally was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it right now. And he kind of like did it. And then we just put it out.
Were you guys together in the same room or he was just like,
yeah, we did it. We did it in the living room.
Oh,
we didn't
even
do it in our studio. Like I recorded him while we were eating spaghetti.
What kind of spaghetti? That's a very important question to you.
I think it was like Chef Boyardee. Like it was just like,
there you go.
It was just straight out of the can. Like, let's just eat this and record this and just be done with it.
But so moving forward from that, I noticed what I did notice is in your discography, and even if there are singles in 2020, it seems like you guys kept pretty busy without, you know, moving in the typical sense of a band. I saw what we released like 5 singles or something, 6 singles or something like that.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. In the beginning of 2020, we had just got off a tour and that was when we got approached, by our record label. And, we had already had the EP that is out now, Cloud City, and we were just going to release it ourselves. And, you know, the label came along and they were like, hey, you know, business stuff, which ended up turning into us working with them. And we, you know, the shutdown happened right after that. We had no idea what to do. And so we're like, hey, we're just going to shoot a bunch of music videos and just put out a bunch of these songs, like all like in a row and kind of do like some singles, some live stuff here and there. And we'll see kind of what happens from here to the end of 2020.
So the plan was to kind of like sprinkle out the EP, if you will, while there was downtime. So you could kind of like find a little bit of a speed lane to like head into a touring situation when we open back up.
Yeah, kind of like that was originally the idea. We as a band were like going to do that anyway, but then when the label came along, we just kind of got lucky because now we have, you know, the power of budgets. So, you know, that definitely helped.
It changes things immensely, right? Is this your first label deal then?
With the label?
Yeah.
No. So okay. For this record, yeah. We had run-ins with some other labels. So a lot of people don't know this, but in 2015, when I put out that first record, we signed with Artery Recordings at the time.
Oh, gotcha.
And that was, I think we were a band for like maybe 3 months before we signed with that label. We were with them for a little bit and then it didn't work out. And then we just kind of were DIY up until now.
And how do you feel it's changed for you guys as a unit? Besides the budgets, do you feel like you have the same creativity, the freedom of creativity as you had back then? No?
Oh, yeah, dude, I do whatever I want. Like, my label can't tell me shit. Like, the cool thing about working with Spine Farm, though, is that I don't think they want to tell me stuff. They kind of just, they point you in certain directions. They're like, hey, you have all this great stuff. Like, you can actually do all of this stuff with it versus telling me what to do. Like, I know even when we recorded, I didn't even show them the songs till they were done. And I know a bunch of times I was like, hey, yeah, we just kind of want to hear what's going on in the studio. And I literally was like, no, you'll wait until it's done. You have to trust me on this. I will give you a good record. So they don't really tell us anything. We're super, super hands-on with everything creatively.
That's great, man.
With Spine Farm, they're such an interesting story because they were like a very bleak, dark metal, black metal label back in the day. So yeah, they're about the creative aspect of things, and business is almost kind of like secondhand priority as far as like letting their artists be creative, which brings me to you guys. So being from New York City, which has a rich history in everything from New York hardcore, which is legendary, iconic. I used to work at Revelation Records, man. So I know how important it is to kind of keep the standard that New York City sets for hip hop, R&B, metal, and then hardcore. Is there a responsibility being from that and actually using NYC in your name? Is there a responsibility that to kind of like live up to these standards?
It's I want to say there is, but there isn't. Because I feel like in New York City, people are very, they're hard, man. Like they're really hard. So when you first start coming up in a scene in a really weird way, you're really responsible for how you play shows and how you interact with people. Cause it's almost like a family in a way. New York City is very, very much like family oriented. It's not really like band and fans. It's like band and family. Mm-hmm. As you start getting bigger though, it does start to become a responsibility because, you know, you're from New York City and we have everything here. Everyone, other states look at us and they're like, oh my God, you're from New York City. Like, you know, the Mecca of the world. And it's kind of scary because people from New York City also expect you to make New York City the biggest thing ever. So it's kind of scary. It's kind of challenging. I kind of don't really mind it too much though. I love challenges. And also being from New York, that's like something we thrive in. Like we like being put in the dirt because we just like growing from it. You know, like we're all just dirty trees that just grow into these big, dirtier trees.
That's right. So your sound, like we talk, it's very unique sounding. I mean, I think just personally sounding, bands always need fans need something to kind of attach a band to that's new to them. What do they sound like? I think fans of Linkin Park and I Prevail will take to you guys automatically. It's got that feel. Clean, it's clean, but heavy when it's time to be heavy. And let's talk about the new single Montero. And you're going to forgive me because I'm going to say this in the most utmost respect.
Okay.
Is that to me, if you weren't doing this song and Shakira decided she wanted to be a metalhead, this song would work for her. It's the one of those things, and you guys are gonna be one of those artists that pull pop fans into hard rock.
So,
and that's not a bad place to be. That's a great place to be. Poppy's the same kind of person, pulls the pop people into the darker, more gothy metal stuff. you guys are at that place where you could do that because the stuff is smooth enough to lure people in, and then you drop the heavy on them.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, it's kind of weird. So Montero is actually a cover of a pop song. And it wasn't originally, yeah, it's Montero by Lil Nas X. It wasn't something we were going to cover at first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not.
Yeah. So
beyond my pay grade.
No, dude, check this out. So,
really? I'm sorry. One of the biggest songs.
I don't know where Lil Nas fits in with my Black Sabbath records.
No, it's funny because this is not the first time I've heard this. I know people who never listened to that song, like the pop single, and listened to ours and was like, oh my God, this song is incredible. And, you know, I try to also let everyone know, like, I am a pop singer. I grew up listening to, like, Michael Jackson, Usher, even rap. Like, I grew up listening to, like, P. Diddy, Jadakiss, Beanie Siegel, like, Cameron, like, all these rappers and stuff. So all of my influence comes from that world. Like, that's where... I feel like that's where I got everything from. I got into rock really later in life. But Montero was a song where I heard the original song and I absolutely loved it. And I wrote a cover. I wrote it here at home. Like I just started playing guitar and drum. You know, I mapped out the drums and everything. And I put it together at home in like an hour and I sent it to the label. I was like, yeah, this would kind of be like fun to cover. And they were like, dude, you should 100% do this. Like, this is sick. But I didn't know if it was going to work. Because I don't necessarily know if people want to hear that stuff from us. So to hear even you say like that, you like,
dude, I'm a pretty savvy guy. And to me, it just sounds like, man, they wrote a great pop song that translates into a hard rock song. It's funny you talk about Michael Jackson because your voice does reminisce a lot to that. So I can't wait till you, when you get on the ship and you and Aaron Jones had a discussion, because Aaron's favorite singer is Michael.
Dude, and I absolutely love Michael.
That would be a great conversation. I'd love to be in. You know what that sounds like, Chad? A Making Waves Shiprocked episode with those two talking Michael Jackson the entire time.
That would be an absolutely great
episode. I could talk about forever.
What if you guys were just to do, instead of the episode, I just got an idea. It's just hitting me like a brainwave here. What if you were to sing
over?
No, just like sing parts of a Michael Jackson song back and forth to each other like it's a battle, but a dance.
Let's just Michael Jackson vocal dance.
And we'll get the cherry bombs to dance while you're doing it.
Amazing.
Yeah, we'll get the cherry bombs to dance behind you.
Yeah. That comparison is kind of crazy though, because I grew up listening to Michael. Like, he was everything. He was actually the first singer that I ever listened to where I think I was when I realized I could sing. Because I didn't know I could sing, and I would like hum along to stuff, and I started singing. I was like, oh, I'm actually like, I'm decent at this, I guess. And I just kept listening to like Michael Jackson stuff and singing over and over and over again. And that was kind of what made me want to do music. So to even hear people kind of like put those two together, to me is like, I don't see it. I don't get it. Maybe that's just me being me, but it's kind of crazy and kind of mind blowing, like at the same time.
Yeah. But isn't that what it is? You as the artist are not going to hear the things that me as the audience is going to hear and make reference to. So yeah, no, it's a great thing, man. So that's a really unique skill you have set right there. So yeah, hang on to it.
I will try.
Because in everything that I've picked up, Joey, it seems like this started as using this, I don't even know if it was called Varsity, but as an outlet for your own solo material and then putting the bands together, right?
Yeah.
What kind of like, I guess the best way I could formulate this question is like, where did you start when you're writing a song? And are you still the primary songwriter, or are you involving the other members in that process?
Okay, so I usually start with guitar parts. So, well, actually, to go back, I'm the primary writer for the band. So I write and record all of the songs and demos here at home. I usually start with guitar. Like I sometimes hear vocal melodies in my head, but for the most part, I kind of consider myself a guitarist more than a vocalist. So I pick up my guitar and I start playing, and then just lay down some bass and I'll map out some drums. And once the instruments are done, or a certain part of the instruments are done, I will go back and start putting like little vocal lines over and stuff like that. And then, you know, eventually I'll get to the end of the song and I'll give it to the band. And I'll be like, hey, this is what I have. Is there anything you guys want to change? Most of the time, they don't really want to change much. Sometimes they are like, hey, we can tweak like these little parts and stuff like that. And that ends up becoming most of, I think, 100% of everything that everyone has heard has been that exact same process.
And I read it recently too, that I believe, I don't know if it's the last record or if the record hasn't come out yet, but so there's a, I forget his name. I think he's from the band Nine Shrines, but did he produce the last record or is it something that's coming?
Yes. So Andrew Bayless.
Andrew Bayless. That's it.
Yeah. So he produced the Cloud City EP and the full length that is done that we haven't gotten back yet, which is crazy. It was the first time we ever worked with Andrew. I didn't know if we were going to work well together, but I think at the time I had decided, hey, I want to go to like, you know, I want to go to a producer, someone who's like, has done this for years and like can take my songs to the next level. I sent Andrew a demo and he was like, hey, yeah, just come do one song. And we went, we did Dig, and me and him hit it off so well that at the end of me tracking vocals for that song, before we were even leaving, he looked at me and he was like, you guys should just come back and do the EP. Don't worry about money. Let's just do this and we'll figure this out later. And in the middle of doing that whole thing, Spine Farm had come along, and then they came, and then we were like, yeah, we want to do a record. I immediately was like, yeah, I want to do like a full record with Andrew.
It's weird in this business how sometimes a story just writes itself by literally the connections that you make. You know, like you were saying, even your agent, right? Your agent is in a band that as well. And I'm assuming that he didn't just like stumble upon you guys in some sort of internet way. He probably was playing with his band, right? You know, and you guys are playing together. And at some point in time, he became what he's doing. He's like, I got you. Let's do this, right? And yep. I'm just guessing.
Yep, that's actually exactly how it happened.
Well, then you have the building as a human that's been in and out of this area for a long time. You have the building blocks of a great story. Simply, it seems like when you enter the room recognizes the energy that is, you know, that you're bringing with it yourself, and also how it reacts to the other people in the room. So congratulations on being a human.
Thank you.
Really hard. That's great.
Hey. Hey, Joey, with regards to, you said that you kind of came to rock a little bit later. What moved you in that direction? What was there something you heard or just kind of influenced?
Yeah,
kind of
like so
up with you or?
No. So I was only listening to like pop, rap and stuff like that. And then in high school, one of my friends, his name is Vincent. He came to school one day and he was like, hey, man, I there's this band that I think you should listen to. And it was Killswitch Engage. And he let me listen to Killswitch Engage. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I remember hearing it for the first time and thinking, holy crap, like people in rock like sound like this. And I got like super sucked into Killswitch Engage. And then at the time, you know, I was singing, but I wasn't really like singing full time. I was more so a guitarist. So I got into Adam D as a guitarist. And I started like looking up like Guitar World magazines and stuff. And he would talk about other bands like As I Lay Dying and all these other bands. And I started getting into like everything guitar wise. And then, you know, I want to say a couple of months passed and that same friend was like, hey, there's a show going on. You should come. And I remember this perfectly. It was a Silverstein show. It was Silverstein from First to Last and Thrice. And I remember going to the show. And at the time, Sonny Moore was in from First to Last. This was before he was Skrillex.
Oh yeah.
And he got on stage and he started singing. And at that moment I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I want to do and nothing else. And I think from then on, I was like, I got to be in a band. Like, I want to be a singer of a band. I want to do something.
Was it with like regards to Killswitch? Was it just the way they were able to meld the clean melodic with just the heavy? Was this when Jesse was singing or is this when Howard was singing?
This is when Howard was singing.
Okay.
So I remember listening to, I think it was the end of Heartache.
Oh God.
I think it was that song. And yeah, I listened to the guitars and like the instruments. And I'm like, this is good. And then Howard starts singing and it's like, what the hell is this? Like I still get that feeling today. Like I could listen to like Killswitch Engage or like just Howard in general and be like, this is absolutely insane. But that like completely like sucked me in. I think after that point on, I was like, this is like, I'm in love with rock and I'm never going back.
Yeah, I mean, that sound kind of changed metal for a while, that kind of the clean and dirty stuff mixed in. Fear Factory, everyone was kind of doing that thing. but that was a pivotal point. So good on your friend for turning you on to that band, because it would have been some other band. You would have gone, nah, I'm okay.
Yeah. I honestly think that was the perfect band to bring me into. Cause I, you know, he knew that I was going to love the singing. I had no idea who this band was. And I think Howard must've sang a sentence before I was like, I don't care what the rest of the song is. Like, I already love it. I'm already interested.
Have you checked out his new band, Light the Fire?
Oh yeah. I like follow it. I love Howard.
Oh, good, good. Tell you what, guys, I want to take a commercial break here real quick. So, hey, folks, at this time, we'd like to remind you that not only are you listening to a kick-ass podcast right now, but we also produce an amazing rock-themed vacation called Shiprocked. That's why we're all here. We'll be sailing to Costa Maya and Cozumel on our 12th voyage in January of 2022. So please sail away with us into metal oblivion with Lamb of God, I Prevail, From Ashes to New, Steel Panther, and more, including Varsity NYC. Cabins are still on sale now at shiprocked.com. All right. So listen, you got the new single out. It's probably a flavor of what you guys are going to be working on going forward. What, as far as recorded material past, once you get done with the tour, what do you guys have your plans and your sights set on?
So we have a full length record, that's already done and everything. We're just, you know, we're going to start like filming a bunch of music videos and everything else for it. It is by far the weirdest thing I've ever written in my entire life. I'm so super, super, super terrified of putting this stuff out, but it's, that's what we're doing. We're going to try to make sure we have that out. Maybe hopefully sometime this year, get a couple of videos out, put out a couple of singles and stuff like that.
Could I ask you, without giving too much away, what is it that's terrifying about it?
The styles. There's obviously, you know, there's songs that are like pop metal songs. There are songs that are kind of like country metal. It's really weird. Like a lot of people don't know this. I am really into like Southern rock and like, just like that Southern twangy, like guitar sound. And there's a couple of songs where I wrote and it's like, hey, I want to do like something kind of like countryish on this, but mix it with metal. But I'm going to sing pop stuff over this. And I wasn't sure how it was going to work. And these songs ended up all making the record. And so now I'm like, well, it's scary to try something new. You know, there's a ballad on the record, which is also something I've never done like ever. It's just a bunch of different, I think the style wise, I tried a lot of really weird stuff that I've never done. So I'm like really scared, but I'm also excited.
Well, I think the ballad is always a great idea because it does help you as far as like, you know, your label looks at it as some ways to sell it to radio. They can cross segment it across different platforms. But also, you know, we love power ballads. You know, they're the backbone of a lot of hard rock, you know? So it's sometimes they make or break an album. So that's good for you guys. The country one, I'm definitely interested in hearing what that one's going to be about.
Yeah, that one kind of sounds like a Johnny Cash meets metal song. It's really weird, but I love it.
Great.
So I have to, you were just talking in the way, I mean, this isn't country-esque, but do you know the band Bad Rabbits?
Yes, I do.
Are you into that? Because I mean, your music kind of like feels like it could fit like a marriage. I love that band. Also, I assume being from New York that you're either into or know of the band Glassjaw.
Oh, yeah, 180%. Yep.
Okay. Do you love that band?
Yeah, that was another band that I kind of like had gotten into. Like, I got into them really late though, really, really late. But they were also like one of my favorite bands. Like when I started, like, oh, okay, I want to start singing more now.
Your vibe reminds me of their record Worship and Tribute. So I just wanted to kind of mention that now that I think about when you were talking about this being a fearful, like that's a space and time. If you think about like, even if you got into Glassjaw late or even Bad Rabbits at the time of in our culture that those bands came out, it was like, it was rubbing two stones together, right? In a way that just, for some reason, I mean, I love those bands. I listen, you know, I absolutely love Glassjaw, right? Especially that first record. They're both great in the last one. But the point of where I was getting to is like, I don't think you have anything to be fearful of when you can go and do a little, like, look what Lil Nas X did as a breakout artist, then turning around and putting out the song that you guys covered. You know, like, you're in good hands, I feel like, with today's temperature, especially with people your age, our age and below. Sorry, Justin. But the idea is like our
Christ,
minds, our minds are just, you know, we're sitting here waiting for something to different to come into our nucleus. Right.
So, yeah. I think it's interesting also, like now, like just like you said, like we're all kind of waiting for something different to come in. But I think because I'm on this side of the fence, it's more of like, how can I make my music different? Cause I listen to so many different things and I want to do them all. Like I've never been the kind of person who's like, yeah, I want to just do this like one style of music forever. That's boring. Like that becomes, that just becomes the most boring, like just boring shit ever. I was like, I don't want to do that. So like trying to bring new stuff in to, you know, metal, which also, you know, is notoriously known for like, we are literally the most gatekeepy genre ever. Like metal fans just want metal music. It's hard and it's scary, but I think fans nowadays are more receptive of people doing things that are just completely out of the box.
Absolutely, man. I think the single culture kind of like paved the way for that too. You know, the idea of what a full length is means nothing the way that it used to. It's still a prized possession for most music fans and specifically the artists, right? Because it's a book. You know, it's a different chapters in a book. Yeah. But with the ability to pivot and pay attention to what's going on, how what you're doing is reacting. Not to say that everything is commerce, because it's not. But at the end of the day, if you're making music and you're putting it on a DSP platform in particular, the whole fucking point of that is to make it as easily accessible as possible for other people to listen to,
yeah.
Right? So you are, in a sense, paying attention. And you have to if you want to continue to put out music or if you're planning to continue to put out music.
Yeah.
So I think,
yeah.
I just to relate back to the fearful moments, man, I'm interested to see where your career ends up going from here. And I think you have nothing to be fearful of. And the Shiprock folks feel the same way. So,
yeah. Speaking of, we want to welcome everyone from Shiprock who's watching us now on Facebook Live. Welcome everyone. Listen, guys, we're going to start doing something new here. So we'll get to it, but our Walk the Plank segment. Now, whoever submits a question that we pull from tonight wins a $50 merch gift card. So get a good original question ready for Joey. And not really so much a question, a Walk the Plank question. You guys kind of figured out what that is by now. So the best one, we'll say online where we are online. Good Lord.
Yeah, the interweb, you know.
We're on the interweb. That's right. Thank you. And then you guys will walk home with the riches of a $50 merch card. So we'll give you a few minutes to knock that out while we continue our conversation here with Joey. So Chad mentioned something about cross-pollination right now is kind of the way for a lot of fans. Fans are so much more open-minded with the advent of Spotify and things like that because they can take chances now and it really doesn't cost them anything to listen to band XYZ. They can just, it's not my thing. I'll go with something else. But with that said, they'll catch on to bands and go, wow, this is so unique and original. And it is the time to be unique and original because, well, Spotify's kind of leveled the playing field for a lot of people. And one other thing, I think Chad made a great point. Glassjaw 10 years ago, 15 years ago, was like listening. Well, it was hard. It was a hard listen. And it's like Dillinger Escape Plan. But now you listen to them now and you're like, man, these guys are so iconic. They were so ahead of the game. We finally kind of caught up with them.
Yeah.
And also, that's always
the Dillinger Escape Plan, that's the best band name in the world. Just want to throw that out there. That is literally the best band name ever.
They're definitely the most adventurous, dynamic, and harmful to one another.
They're amazing, though. They're great.
Yeah, I would never want to get in a clash between Ben and Greg on stage. That would just be brutal. So anyway, earlier and folks, when you guys listen to the full podcast, when we drop it this Monday, you'll hear Chad and Joey talking about, the essence of sailing on a boat and being a musician. And this is going to be Joey's first run, not only on Shiprock, but on a boat. So we're going to talk about that for a few minutes and what he can expect. He and the band actually can expect from not only the performances, but your fan interaction. Listen, one of the things we can tell you is that your shows are going to go, by the time you guys are on in January, everyone's going to be very well versed in who you are, either seeing you live or really digging your record, because we create our Spotify playlist for Shiprocked, and you guys are part of that. So people will get turned on to it and keep going. And by the time you roll around, they're going to know everything you're doing. They're going to know every nuance in every song. So when you guys are playing the deck stage or wherever we got you, it's going to be raucous, and it's going to be, and Chad can attest this better than anyone, it's a somewhat of a game changer for the advent of your career.
You know what's funny about it?
Go ahead.
I've never been on a ship. I'm interested to see what it would be like for us, like actually playing music on a ship. I've never been on a ship. So to be playing on one, I guess it also still hasn't hit me that we're doing this. Like I can talk about it. Sounds like, oh yeah, we're doing Shiprock, but it hasn't, I don't think it'll hit me until we get on the boat. So I'm like super excited for this, like super, super excited for it.
The interesting thing that usually I'll ask a question like, hey, so what did it feel to guests who have been on the show who have also played the ship? You know, I'll say, so can you recall that moment of walking, you know, on board and seeing what the vessel for the first time that you're going to be playing on, and what was that feeling like? And then vice versa, do you remember walking off that ship and how you, your body, mind, and just everything kind of felt off of the ship? Because it was literally five days, whatever we're at this point, I think it's five. You lose track of time, and then you get off of the ship and you're like, this doesn't feel right. Like life doesn't feel the same ever again. And as a new band, that feeling is even more compounded, because not only did you just play quite possibly the best shows of your entire career and you didn't realize it, but your entire essence as a human has now brought in this entire 5,500 people that are always going to be your friends and family and all this stuff. And you'll find they're all over the world. So you continue to tour and they'll show up, and together you'll have memories, break bread, drink beer, talk about whatever's going on in each other's lives, and other people like that you're on tour with. They'll be like, who are all these fucking people that in these jerseys that say Shiprocked on your, you know, like they don't know what it is. And like, oh, you just got to play and you'll understand. And that's it's a real culture. It's a real movement. I love these conversations because I full ass plan, Justin can attest to, like, so were we right or were we wrong? You know, that sort of thing. So I'm interested to talk to you after we've sailed, you know?
Oh yeah, man. I'm excited for all this. Like it just seems unreal. It also just seems unreal that this exists. Could you think of like a cruise with like bands on it, like happening years like ago? No, right? Yeah, I can't even think about that. Like to be able to think about like, all right, there's a ship that's we're playing in the middle of the ocean for 7 days, and there's all these amazing bands. Is this even real? Like, are we living? Is this reality? It's insane to think about like altogether.
I think that's one of the interesting points is that, for one, you're right. You're like, did we think about it? No, we always just thought about the lounge band that happened to be the house act for the ship. You know, when you're out with your parents, I mean, some of those crews, their folks always were going up, or, you know, it's whatever, it's, you know, whoever's been commissioned to play on the boat that was from the local Holiday Inn in town. But to have these rock shows to this proportion, no, we didn't. And that's just, again, we were always as a business trying to find a paradigm, like how can we mirror what's going on land, scale it down, but make it this much more incredible experience. But I think the thing about it, Joey, and you're going to realize this, is like when you're playing, you're going, you're just playing on you're on a boat, but it's very stationary. So you feel like you're just, you know, you're playing a club in, you know, Pennsylvania one night, but you don't realize that you're in the middle of the damn ocean on this thing that's basically a skyscraper that's been turned horizontal. And that's basically what it is. So yes, it's always important after you play to go up on the deck and go, holy shit, we just played an hour on the boat in the middle of this water. It's an amazing experience. Whatever you take from it, that's always going to be the amazing thing, is that experience. And then I think the other experience, again, Chad can attest to, and any band has come on, is always this nervousness, like, okay, the fans, they're going to be right. We're going to be basically like with them. Yeah. And it's an amazing experience because some of your conversations, be it a breakfast or dinner, are so enlightening. And so you'll get, and these people will school. I get schooled by some of these people on music. And I think I'm pretty versed in it, but they know some things that I'm still catching up with. So it's always a great conversation. They make it very enjoyable. We're definitely going to get you guys involved in some of the shenanigans we have on stage, as far as getting involved with them, helping us out, being a part of it, because we want you guys to not just be the artists that we brought on. We want you to be a part of this. It's super important. So, yeah.
I think what's up. You can just say yes.
Just say yes.
I promise you.
I'm saying yes to everything. It's funny because, like you said, like fan interactions, like I think that's one of the main things I'm looking forward to on the ship. I've never been in the position where I can spend, you know, an elongated period of time with my fans. You know, you usually on tour, you pull up at a venue, you get a couple hours, you meet some good people, and then you drive to the next thing. You never get like that time to talk to people. I'm interested in just being able to sit down and actually have conversations with people who just love music. Like, it doesn't even matter if you love my band. Like, you could hate my band. If you love music, I just want to talk to you. Like, you're already on the ship enjoying bands. Those are the kind of things that I feel like I'm looking forward to the most. Like, again, I just love talking. Like, I love talking shit. So anyone who gets on the ship and just likes talking shit, like, I'm going to be a guy. Like, I am 180% your guy. I will talk all day.
I think we should have him. Sorry, Justin, I was going to say, I think we should have him do some of the band deep dive things, maybe. I'm just tossing this out here. Maybe we can include him on one of those. When we bring the artist on stage and we ask, like, some questions.
We love doing that with the younger bands. We love doing that with, because, again, it helps the audience get to know your personality, which is obviously always very endearing. Because nowadays in the music business, the curtain's been pulled back. There's no mystery anymore. We want to know about the artist. It really brings us closer to them. But I think one of the things that's great for the artist, especially in your position, is you're playing, you're looking over, and there's like Randy from Lamb of God, or those, like, you know, LJ or someone from Seven Dust watching you. And it's like, now they're checking out what's new in the scene. They're checking out who's up and coming. And they will work with you, and they will talk with you, and you have these great conversations because you're not rushed, because you're not going, got to get on the bus and we got to get to the next town. You're like, hey, man, we have a week, so we're going to take a time for an hour and just talk the business, the game. How can I do this? What do I expect? You know, what's it like 20 years into your career? How do you feel about things? There's so many questions that you're going to have, and you have these great mentors who are just there and so willing to give you information.
That's like so incredible. Also, like, I feel... To be honest, I'd probably be too afraid to talk to like Randy from Lamb of God, because like that was like one of the first bands like I ever listened to. So I probably, you know, get like nice and hammered first and just stumble my way over him. Like, listen, Randy, I love you.
Believe me, he'll do all the talking. You're good there. You don't have to say a word. So listen,
you brought that up. That's like, it's in particular. Randy's a great guy. And if you just talk to him, he's going to be like, oh, let's go. You know, we're on.
We're on.
The conversation.
But speaking of New York legends, by way of DC, I can't imagine someone like yourself, because there's like HR on board, and it's just kind of like from the Bad Brains. And you're like, oh shit, it's the Godfather. Holy fuck. What are I saying? Again, you just let him talk, because he will take you into the solar system, but it's going to be a great conversation. Well, listen, about this time we play this thing called Walk the Plank. Several great ones. But this one's from Karen Gaffney. Karen, you are the winner per our choosing chat. I don't think you would disagree with this choice. So her question is this. If you could invade one living human's body for an hour, who would it be and what would you do?
One human... That's a hard one.
That's a damn good one. I'm so pissed off I never thought of it.
You know what? Okay, I would probably invade Ryan Reynolds' body and just walk around the street. I'd love to know what it's like to be Ryan Reynolds for a day and just walk around the street and do normal things. This guy's a great actor. He's probably the best looking human on the planet. Like, I would love to just be Ryan Reynolds. So I would be Ryan Reynolds for a day, and I would just walk around the street. Just walk around.
That's a good one.
Just let random people maul me.
Yeah. You know, it's funny about Ryan Reynolds too. Like, it is like,
he's so engaging. You'd probably just stop talking. You just stop and talk to everyone.
Never getting anything done, son.
Yeah. Chad, how about, hey, don't chat up while we're on it. Chad, would you do that? Who would you do for an hour?
Oh my God. You always,
I always put you, I just, come on.
Fuck. Ryan Reynolds is off the table.
It's off the table. Oh, damn it. It's right there.
Son of a bitch. You know what? Man, living or dead? No, it has to be dead.
Living. It has to be living. Okay. Yeah. If you want to sleep for an hour, you can pick the dead. Bill Murray. Is fucking a great answer. God damn it. You know, he'd be more popular than Ryan Reynolds on the street.
Oh, yeah. 180%.
My first choice would have been Robin Williams, but it's living. Is not.
Yeah,
living,
yeah, so yeah. No, dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to usurp you, Joey. I'm going to go with, I'd like to be Jason Momoa for an hour.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
See yourself
not
out,
because
Joey.
Of the reasons you think. Not because of the reasons you think. I would just like to be able to sit down in a bar and drink a Guinness.
Oh, wait, I don't think I understand.
He is like the number one purveyor. Basically, Guinness has named a beer after him because he's such a big drinker of Guinness. It's a deep dive, but you got to really know who he is, man. You got to really know who he is, his personality, what he's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, dude, he's like the shit. But yeah, I would just like to be Momoa. And listen, hey, it wouldn't hurt to have, like, you know, to be the Pied Piper for an hour down the street.
I got that one.
Thank you.
That's a good question. Congratulations. Karen?
That was Karen Gaffney. Karen, we'll get with you afterwards. You'll be getting your $50 gift certificate. Get the leggings. They're super hot.
Yeah, especially in the summer because it's warm outside.
I mean, for the yoga class, man.
Yeah, you know.
Chad, what's your walk the plank, dude?
All right, man. So check this out, Joey. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. I had one, and then that one made me hurt. Karen's question made me change so I could kind of like follow through with this here. So I got to grab it real quick, and it was, okay, cool. So is the male or the female body more beautiful to you?
Is the male or the female body more beautiful to me?
Yeah. If you just the idea of the concept that a man or a female body is, which do you think is the most aesthetically pleasing? Not to say that you like dudes, I'm just saying, like,
That. Well, a female body, men are disgusting. Like, have you ever just like looked at yourself in the mirror? I sometimes look at myself and I'm ashamed. I'm just like, wow, like this is this is all I am. Like, is this is what this is what I was born with?
It's so lucky that you're just doing that sometimes, to be honest with you, because I think I do it every single time.
I think if I looked at myself every day, I'd probably just like never go outside. I just ball up like in my bed and just like get under the sheets and just never leave. Yeah, I'm gonna go with females all the way, 180%.
All right. Well, you know what?
But I just, you know, with the Ryan Reynolds thing, I was like, all right, well, maybe, you know.
Ryan Reynolds is different, though. Ryan Reynolds is like, Ryan Reynolds is special.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you know what I always say? I've always said this. Two people, Ryan Reynolds and Jared Leto, won the genetic, like, the lottery. They got everything that every guy, like, kind of wants. Like, in looks and, like, acting. And they both sing. They, like, do everything. And it's like, why this is not fair? How are these people born with so many different things, and I'm over here just like, damn it! Like, I gotta go.
I'll answer that question. they are Masons. That's why they were granted these things from evil powers.
We can get into that. So, I would love to get into that conversation.
Listen, I got a question then that it correlates. So Chad brought that up, and you gave response. All right, I'm going to follow up. If there's one thing you could change about your body, what would it be?
About my body? Maybe I'd like to be like a little taller.
How tall are you?
5'9".
Okay, you're taller than Prince. You're good.
How tall is Prince?
It's 5'3".
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. Wow. Bono, too. Bono's like 5'3", 5'4". It's crazy.
talent.
In that case, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing. You're better than Bono, dude.
I mean, you can get the. You're going to get the jump ball before he does at center court. So you're good.
You're better than CeeLo too. I believe the hip hop guy from the '90s.
And you're also taller than you're taller than Skrillex. So you already, you know, there you go.
That's true. That's
we could probably go down a whole laundry list of people that you're actually taller than. So yes, you're taller than Fran Lebowitz.
You guys are making me feel so good right now. Yeah. Who the hell is Fran Lebowitz?
You're from New York. New York City. Fran Lebowitz is like in New York City, like legend. She's like is bigger than Martin Scorsese. Okay. Anyway, we got some homework coming.
I need to know this right now.
Fran Lebowitz. Yeah. Just look at.
Yeah, you should probably just know that moving forward. I bet you
any money I'll probably look this up and I'll be like, I did know this person. I just didn't know the name.
You know 100%. Her voice for sure.
I guarantee I probably do. I guarantee it. Watch. I'm going to feel so stupid. I feel so dumb.
Anyway, hey, thank you so much, Karen. Thank you. That was like... we just feel like freshmen compared to your senior thesis question. Chad and I just threw Hail Marys and you really thought one out. So good on you. $50 merch coming your way. So listen, you want to play a few Would You Rathers? You want to do that with us? Okay. All right. We'll do this. Let's knock out a couple of those, Chad. And then we're going to tell everyone what's going on with varsity.
Yeah, I'm nice. Okay.
You
guys crazy.
So check it out.
Oh my God, you're drinking. Look at that. Screwball, folks. He's drinking a screwball from the bottle.
This thing is delicious. And I opened it. So I opened it thinking I'd have like a little bit. I'm like, oh, you know, I had like a little bit before, but now I can't stop drinking it. So I blame you guys.
Okay. Oh, great.
That's the way it is. I blame you. You know?
why do I feel like
arrested for running?
God, did we open Pandora's box?
I'm drinking this.
All right, so let's blast out. Like, let's do two each. You know, make it easy. So, hey, Joey, these are literally just like, would you rather this or this? And then, no, you don't need to give any explanation.
Boom. Okay, done.
Okay. Would you rather have no one show up to your wedding or your funeral?
My funeral.
I always laugh at those answers because they're so brutal. <funeral. laughs>
I don't care, dude. Listen, when I die, throw me in the trash. I don't even need to put me where I belong. The trash.
There's this fucking hefty bag.
We're gonna go ahead and turn your body into something we can spread it on Arbor Day.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, all right, Joey. Would you rather socks or underwear be banished forever?
Socks forever? You gotta wear underwear, man. I gotta keep my shit in place.
Do you? I don't know, man. Well, come on. We can go.
It depends on what you wear.
That's one less step.
What if you go to the gym and you're wearing like short shorts and now you're not wearing underwear and you're like.
Well, it's probably not your stretching day. So stick to upper body workouts. No squats.
Or it's somebody else's stretching day and you just gifted them a great moment of life. So would you rather, okay, so picture this, the confines of would you rather for 1 year spend it that year in jail or just completely shave off a year of your life?
I guess I'd shave off a year of my life.
So you'd rather do that than be in jail? Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
who wants to be in jail?
I mean,
I heard some conversations.
Bros, like friends, read some good books. I would rather.
Like, food like, there, like, you can probably get your. I mean, nowadays it seems like you can get some sort of like you could probably at least get an associate's degree in something. I mean,
there's a plus side.
Yeah,
there's a plus side. I wouldn't want to be
in that fucking screwball. You know?
Yeah, I just don't want to be in prison thinking about the outside world. I feel like that's like more like. Kind of
I know you get that one little thing with the little cell window and you see a bird, the same bird flying every day and just flipping you off.
And then you wish you were the bird. It's
for you, dude.
A bird with opposable thumbs, like the only one.
And your family's out here embarrassing you with like the free Joey signs. Like, yo, free my homie Joey. It's like, come on, don't do this, man. I'd rather not.
Makes sense.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you for humoring us with those your answers on Would You Rather. Listen, guys, Varsity's going out with Awake at Last. Jeez, I'm having tongue tied. Awake at Last for a summer tour here in July and August, working on new material. The album, he says, is going to be genre bending. So prepare yourselves for that. Please check out all their stuff. It's on Spotify. If you want to go make it part of your permanent collection, go to iTunes and throw a little change that way and pick up some new songs. Check out Cloud City and obviously the new song, which is a little Nas song I've come to find out, Montero, which the band makes sound, well, like one of their originals. So run with that. Joey, is there anything you want to tell our listening audience while we still have you?
Yeah, thank you for supporting me and, you know, the guys who, you know, make up Varsity. And also, if you see me on the ship, I start drinking the moment I wake up. So if you see me, just be ready.
Full on.
I literally wake up.
Butthole yep. over here, guys.
Yep, I'm just going to wake up, drink. I might make it to the stage. You know, who knows? Who knows?
We go find artists. So we will knock on every door until we find you. Go, showtime, let's go.
That's 10 fine.
Minutes.
You can drag me on stage, like just throw me like in the middle, sprawled out. It's fine.
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to have to say playing the part of Joey tonight for this 10 o'clock set on the stage will be Chad. So yeah. Chad.
This is happening.
I'm just
now.
Gonna fucking butcher it the whole time.
Yeah. You don't think I butcher my own sets? And you got
Anyway, guys. Well, listen, everyone out there, thanks for listening to Making Waves, the Shiprock Podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media family, and the fastest growing rock music podcast in the world. That is a fact, by the way. We checked the stats. We've had nearly 5,000 downloads this year alone. And our community is growing larger and more involved than ever. So thank you much for your support. And remember to review, rate, and subscribe and share with all your best friends. And also, anything you really do helps us spread the word about our awesome guests and their music. Plus, everybody, and this is no lie, everybody gets a free puppy. Anyway, hey, on behalf of myself, Justin,
if you don't take yours, we throw them in the fucking ocean. So just take your free puppy.
Oh, my God almighty. Thank you to Joey Valera from Varsity for joining us tonight. Thank you, obviously, Chad Nicefield, and all the Ask For Entertainment family, including our show engineer, Jennifer Zito, our producer, Al McManus, our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and, of course, the captain, Alan Koenig. None of this would be possible without those folks. So we just want to remind you to rock hard and vacation harder. You guys have a good evening and rest of your week. And we're going to do this again next week. We got some extra special stuff coming up, guys. So pay attention to your inboxes and to our social media stuff. And remember, check out Varsity. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook. Just go find them. Just go see them when they play your town. All right. Take care, everyone.
Call me when you want. Call me when you need. Call me in the morning. I'll be on the way. Call me when you want. Call me when you need. Call me out by your name. I'll be on the way. Like. Your body and I wanna feel on your ass in Hawaii. I want that jet lag from fucking and flying. Shoot a child in your mouth while I'm riding.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.